Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach. And I guess, Gus, this is the first Gus Bradley Show post-training camp. Today you guys broke camp, right?
Yeah, we had a little family day up at the cabanas in the pool area. It was a nice afternoon, although it was hot up there, real hot up there. But, it was a chance to really appreciate what's taken place the last couple of weeks.
Is breaking camp kind of one of those things as a head coach that you welcome, but at the same time kind of want to keep your team in focus? Look, yes, we are breaking camp, but yes, we're still in this mode that we're trying to improve our football team. Let's not lose focus.
Right, and that's a great thing about training camp. You do have their focus. They're staying in a hotel. You take up the majority of their time. But, I think it'll be a great challenge for this team. I think that we had a walkthrough today, actually took the pads off and hats and really challenged them mentally, and they responded very well. So I hope they respond in even though we're breaking camp.
You've had about 6 days to digest what you saw in the game here against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and a lot has been talked about. I know that you're really impressed with the offensive line. What other things kind of have you been able to maybe go back and watch since your initial impression and say, you know what, that was pretty good?
Yeah, I think, special teams-wise, there's some good things. I liked what I saw in the return game, both the punt return and the kickoff returner. So I think on our team we have a returner. Now it's just finding out who specifically it is. Offensively, I think we're further along than we anticipated. Sometimes it takes a while. Now, it is a preseason game, and there's not a lot of game planning going on. But still, you have to go out there and execute, and I thought our execution was pretty good.
Boy, the return game, focus in on that for a second, because, well, you talk about determining a final 53, which is going to be coming up, and I've got the date written down here somewhere, because you guys go to 75 on September 1st, and then you have to get down to your roster, which is 53 on September 5th. So, coming up here, I mean, and one of the big factors is special teams. And, I mean, whether a guy is your starting returner or not could make the difference of what's going to be the 53 makeup.
It sure is. And, you're always looking at each position group and how many you can keep at each position group and how it works out. And, boy, special teams, is so critical. And, these receivers, you're looking at that group and guys that can be four core players as well as a returner. It helps them, as far as the more that they can do.
Have you guys, I know I asked you this question last week, and the discussions that you and General Manager Dave Caldwell have about roster makeup, and what I'm talking about here is the formula, okay? Let's say 9 offensive linemen, 9 defensive linemen, 4 safeties, 5 corners, whatever those numbers may be, those discussions have started, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. We have personnel meetings with the whole staff, a couple times a week, and we had one last night again where we talk about every player on the team, every position. We don't get into specific, maybe the numbers that we're going to keep at each, but we get a good feel, and then each scout gets an opportunity to talk. And then Dave and I just go through it. We put the numbers up there and anticipate things, but we try to keep an open mind because we know the next couple of games a lot of things can happen.
When you talk about 4 core special teams, a lot of people say, well, what does that mean? Punt return, kickoff return, which is the 4 core special teams unit. Who stood out against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because, it's so hard to evaluate special teams in training camp because you're not going live.
Right.
And it's a different game when it's live.
It is, but you got like Leroy Reynolds. I think we're really happy with him. He is a guy that has ownership in the special teams and has kind of been our leader of the special teams. So he has stood out. Rashad Green really stood out. I think for him, the big thing is you trust him, and he seems to hit it north and south, so that was a good deal. Denard Robinson on his kickoff return, I think his speed, we all know that his speed, but just to be able to hit it the way he did, that was good. Protection, the punt game was good, solid. I think you look at those attributes. Your eyes tend to focus on the returners because it's such a big deal for us.
See, my eyes focus on what I call the crazies. The guys on kickoff team that are L4, L5, and L4 and 5 and R4 and 5, which is basically those are the center guys on the kickoff team. and then also the guys on the punt team that, you know, are flying down the field in the middle. And the one guy that kind of stood out a little bit, Jeremiah George. In fact, if I remember correctly, he had one heck of a block where he just whacked a guy.
You nice saw block. That, and the yeah. team got excited yeah. for it. And yeah, you know what? And these guys that, you know, Jeremiah George now is, you know, getting some reps as a backup Mike. And we did some moving around with positions, and part of it was because of how they showed up on special teams. And you're looking, here's a guy that could be a core special teams player, and let's get him an opportunity. He plays well. If he can play, Mike, too, it just ups his chances as well as being a good special teams player.
Cross-training, in other words. I mean,
it really is.
The more you can do, the more valuable you are.
Yeah, and these players, they want that. They welcome that challenge. And I think they take it as a compliment if a coach is asking them to play multiple positions.
The Pittsburgh Steelers presented a challenge kind of unique to them in that they play a 3-4, and it's not something that you guys – see on a regular basis throughout training camp, although you guys have kind of a, what I would call a hybrid defense. You run some principles 4-3, some of them 3-4. What are the challenges for your team this week going against the New York Giants on the road? Is it the matter of fact, is one, it's preseason game number two? Is it going on the road? Is it something unique about a Tom Coughlin football team? What is it?
Right. I think, you know, first of all, going on the road, you know, it, we have the mentality we'll go anywhere to compete. And it just happens to be in with the Giants this week. So, but I think, you know, just getting your routine down on the road and knowing how to, you know, to take all the time that you have allotted for you and to make the best possible use of it. Then to go into another environment where, you know, all of a sudden the offense is looking at snap count, cadence, you know, some crowd noise issues. So we've been working on that, you know, silent counts all the way throughout. I mean, those are issues that come up. And then, you know, guys playing in a different environment that they're not accustomed to. We still have some young players on our team that, this will be their first road game ever in the NFL. So, you know, all those combinations of things. But, you know, I really like the team, the way they think, the way they operate. It's not too big for them, and they're really excited about it.
There's a lot of people in Jacksonville that are Jaguar fans through and through. But then on, you know, when they turn the TV set maybe to another channel, a lot of them are quietly and sometimes boisterously rooting for Tom Coughlin, obviously the first head coach in franchise history. Have you had a chance to interact much with Tom, and what do you know about him?
You know, over the years, yeah, we always try to get together at the Combine or, you know, when he comes back here to Jacksonville in his charity event. And just a phenomenal person, and I've learned a great deal. Even though we've had short meetings, just his perspective and how he goes about things. And, you know, Jacksonville means a lot to him now. I mean, he's had some really good years here. So, Coach Coughlin, hold him in high, high, high regard.
There's a lot of people that you kind of come across your, you know, life path with. And I've always felt that, look, if you can't learn something from everybody, anybody, whether it be good or bad, then you've really missed an opportunity. And you talked about you've had a chance, not a ton of time, to spend with Tom Coughlin. But if you had to point to one thing, maybe the best advice he's ever offered you, or the one thing that you've really taken to heart that he's helped teach you, what is it?
Well, I think, you know, be strong in your convictions, but then be ready to adapt. I think that's the one thing that stood out, because he is very strongly convicted and he knows how he wants to do things. But then he adapted and he adjusted to the game. And, you know, you talk about dealing with the millennial generation. And
I didn't even know there was such a term.
Yeah, and it's different. It's different. All of a sudden now with the players these days, respect, trust, communication are important concepts. And, you know, you have to adjust to that as a coach. It's no longer the command style, although coaches can do it, but it's just more difficult. And these players want to be able to, you know, have those three traits applied to them from a coach. And Coach Coughlin's done an amazing job adjusting to that.
When he's got two Super Bowls to kind of justify, right, legitimize what his experiences are, and that always helps. Yep. Through the years, you've had the opportunity to work with and also work for many head coaches along the way, and I'm sure you've learned a lot. Going all the way back to even your high school days or even your college days when you were up there in North Dakota, who's the one guy that you point to and say, you know what, I learned more from this one guy than maybe anybody else?
Wow. You know, you do, like you said, you try to pick up a couple things from everybody you worked with. And it's funny because you said, who's the one guy, and it might be back from college. And I said, oh, yeah, college, Rocky Hager. No, no, high school, Ken Belanger. I've learned some things from him. And obviously Monty Kiffin and John Gruen and Pete Carroll and Jim Morrow. And, you know, the list goes on and on. So, boy, that's a tough question now, Logs, because you do. I think, you know, obviously get the passion of John Gruen and Monty Kiffin and Pete Carroll, believe it or not, enthusiastic, but more of a thinker, you know, and more of a mindset guy. And he helped me grow in that area too. And, you know, so many people, I think, have had an influence on me.
You know, and the other thing, when I say that, you know, you have an opportunity to learn from anybody. And I know that you've held Dwayne Walker in high regard here, because I had asked you, you know, what's the one guy that's not afraid to, afraid to bounce ideas off of, and he's not afraid to come to you as the head coach. Is Dwayne still that guy, and are there also more now that the staff has changed?
Right. No, D-Walk's awesome. And but I think we try to create an environment, although it's hard, but to create an environment where we all can be challenged. And, you know, sometimes these guys will say, yeah, but you're still the head coach. But that's okay. I need to be challenged. And, you know, so, yeah, guys like Greg Olson, Todd Wash, Bob Babich, Dwayne Walker, you know, Rudy, you know, all these guys. Doug Marone, mm-hmm. I mean, has been a great sounding board for me. So Mike Mallory, I mean, we try to have that, though. We try to – I think we're a staff that tries – everybody has egos, but we limit it. We make sure it doesn't get in the way, so we're open to being challenged. And but, yeah, Dwayne Walker's always been that guy. I think that in the off season we'll text back and forth on some ideas.
Now, what about – let's talk for a minute about Greg Olson before we take a break. You know, Greg Olson comes in here with, you know, second-year quarterback. You know, a year ago you gave up 71 sacks and – you know, the offense struggles to score points. Everybody knows that. And he comes in and he takes this job. That's a finable offense, by the way, if you're in Tom Coughlin's meeting right there. But Greg Olson comes into a challenging situation. And from what I can see, he loves it. He's embraced it. You can see that the guys, when he talks, their ears are pointed in his direction. You got to feel extremely pleased with where that is at this point.
I do. And, you know, you're right. All those things you say are true. Ole does a great job commanding that group. We've got different personalities as a coaching staff, the offensive staff, and different personalities in that offensive room. And for him to gain the respect of the team and the coaching staff and to bring everybody together to work in one direction, we've got a lot of work to do now, a lot of work to do. And but it is a race, and they've really bought into it, although maybe bought's a bad word because we're not selling anything. It's just something we believe. And Ole has done a really, really good job.
All right, we come back here on the Gus Bradley Show. Want to kind of jump into Blake Bortles and his performance and how he's been this week, and we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach and the quarterback. It's not very often that we can get through the first half of the show without talking quarterback, so let's just jump right into it. Blake Bortles, I thought, had one heck of a night the other night, with the exception of one play, which, you know, this reaching the arm out to the pylon, which you love. You know, he's a competitor, but you just don't want to see a play like that in the preseason out of your starting quarterback.
Well, he is. He's tough-minded. He's competitive. And, you know, but that's who he is. Obviously, we want to be smart, make smart decisions. And but there's going to be times in a game, a regular season game, where you're going to appreciate that toughness. But he just needs to know, you know, when it's a good decision and when it's a poor decision.
I was reading this week. I know that Cecil Shorts, former Jaguar, was interviewed, and he had some conversations about Blake Bortles. And Cecil's belief is that Blake Bortles can be a superstar. And I think everybody probably's got a different definition of what a superstar is. But if you had to complete the sentence, Blake Bortles will be a superstar if, how would you complete that? Or could you even begin to even?
Yeah, I don't know. What's a superstar?
Yeah.
You know, what it depends what you define a superstar.
Or a great quarterback if.
I just think Blake has the chance to be a great quarterback if he still continues to be his best. You know, and let's see where it takes him. You know, I don't know. I mean, to project and all that, I don't know. I don't even talk that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just – but we do expect his best each week. We do expect him to compete. We expect him to prepare, and we expect him to, you know, give us the best shot. And that's what he's doing.
If you had to say there are four qualities about Blake that gives him a chance to do X, whether it be to be a great player, to be a successful player, whatever that is, if you had to name four qualities that you have to have and he's got one.
Well, I can tell you the qualities I like about, and we all like about him, is he's tough, he's competitive, it's extremely, extremely important to him. His accuracy is getting better, his timing is getting better. His leadership qualities, I think that he leads by example, but you're starting to feel him even more. So all those traits, you know, I think are very important in being a really good quarterback if you look at the quarterbacks. And we'll see. I think, you know, but it's so early. I mean, one preseason game and built off of last year. So, you know, we don't look ahead. We just look at today and what do we need to get better at today? And that's what he does.
The thing that impressed me the most was not what he did on Friday night, but this week he was being interviewed, and one of the questions that, you know, that he was asked was about the incompletion where he threw high to Clave Harbor. But he identified what he did wrong. He said, "I got a little long on that." And what he was talking about was his feet got long. And because he stretched his feet out, in other words, the step might have been too big or the back step would have been too deep. Whatever it was, he was long. And I thought that that was a big moment because, I mean, how many second-year quarterbacks can actually go to that play and say, here's what I did wrong instead of, well, I just missed them?
Well,
he identified it and recognized it.
Well, you know how we've been talking about we're building a culture and we're trying to create an environment where these guys have no fear, and all these concepts and all the things that have been taking place in the last 2 years, like, hey, it's important that our players have humility. Why? So they identify weaknesses. Why? That allows us to get better and improve. And we have to drive that home and keep that one of the top portions of our culture. And it's a classic example, right? Hey, Blake, what happened? He had humility. He identified his weakness, and now he can improve and get better at it. And it sounds so simple, but it's hard. And now if you have a culture where everybody's doing that, that's where you can see rapid improvement. And, you know, I love hearing it, but that's who he is anyway. And we got to make sure we protect that mentality and continue to grow off of that.
Well, you talk about protecting that, protecting the quarterback much better last week. The offensive line, for the most part, did an excellent job. Love the way that the right side of your offensive line is working. You still got a battle at center this week. The battle continues. What do you expect to see there?
Well, I think, you know, at center we'll see Wiz start, and Luke will play a lot. We're going to try to get it to where they have about equal reps. Hard to do, but that's the intent. And, you know, continue to grow with the rest of the offensive line. And, you know, and see Brandon Linder and Parnell and Luke and Beatles and AJ and Frenchie and just, you know, get all these guys playing time. But you'll see more playing time than last week, although they got a little bit more than we talked about initially on this radio show. But that was what our intent was. So we'll see how they do. But, you know, I think we all hope that they make another step in the right place.
All right, let's take a break here right on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, going to kind of bring up some off-Jaguars topics to get the coach's head coach's thoughts, and we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Join John Osher and J.P. Shadrick for Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. We'll have special guests keep you informed of the latest Jaguars news and take your social media questions. Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on Jaguars.com. Back here on the Gus Bradley Show, Jeff Loggan with head coach Gus Bradley. And Gus, I was reading this week that Dean Blandino, the NFL's head of officiating, basically apologized to the teams that they have not sent out the inflation pressure devices for the footballs to all the teams. And I guess this is kind of related to, you know, the Tom Brady thing that they're going to have, you know, being able to measure the footballs and such. Since the Tom Brady hearing, I'm not asking your input on the Tom Brady hearing, but do you guys monitor on a daily basis the PSI in a football for practice so that you guys are in compliance? And have you do quarterbacks or any of your quarterbacks play with that range of PSI?
You know what? It's funny you bring that up because we did check on it back when this all was coming up. And our equipment guys take care of the balls. And Blake, he never really went down there and met with them, you know, or never took the ball and checked it out and, you know, got a hold of all the balls before the game. And, you know, it just wasn't a big deal to him. Now, maybe as he grows on, you know, it's something that he'll check. But at this point, he hasn't. And but believe me, Jimmy Luck and Jimmy I have had a conversation to make sure that it's right on the money.
It's kind of surprising that with all the attention that this has gotten, you know, that the league still has not distributed the tools to measure PSI in a football. Disappointing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, as I'm sure it'll be there before.
Don't criticize the league, guys. I don't want to get you behind or anything.
That's right.
The other topic that has come up a lot lately, and you've seen it a lot with joint practices, but first let's kind of talk about joint practices. And I know I've asked you this question before, but at some point in the future, would you consider having joint practices with a team?
Yeah, Dave and I have talked about it. I think that we're more and more open to it. I think you take a look at our team and where we're at. And I felt like, you know, you could see that. Maybe, you know, for us, you know, teams, what, are 3-4 in our conference or division? So, you know, to have a team that we go against in training camp that's more of a 3-4 team, I think could be beneficial.
And a couple teams that has been going on in the last couple weeks, Cowboys and the Rams, the Texans and the Redskins, the thing that's kind of popped up with these joint practices has been fights. And the league has stated that, you know, that's a club matter and they're going to let clubs deal with that. But, you know, you don't necessarily have to have joint practices for fights to occur in a practice. And you have had, I think, minimal ones. There was one early in training camp that I saw. But have you talked to your team about that? And how do you deal with that?
It is. You know, we kind of had an open discussion, you know, because of what's going on, and just said, okay, you know, these things can take place. Tell me your thoughts, you know, and, you know, we just talked about it. But, you know, we have one of our rules is protect the team, make decisions that are in the best interest of the team. That means no cheap shots, no hitting the quarterback in the red jersey. If a guy's got a red jersey on, lay off of him. You know, no pushing in the back, just, you know, make good decisions. But, boy, it's a fine line now. These guys are competing. It's aggressive. But usually you see it, you know, the older veteran guys are true professionals. You know, it's usually.
But you still got a young football team.
Yeah, you do. But you usually see it from some of the younger guys, you know, that are battling for that roster spot. And it gets intense. And maybe they're learning to be more and more professional. And, you know, but you talk to your guys about it. And you know there's a line. Hey, we treat practice just like it is a game. The intensity, the tempo, the competitiveness. We're trying to mimic a game as much as possible. So we tell them, you fight in practice, you're telling me you're going to fight in a game. And it's not going to work. You're going to get kicked out, and you're going to hurt the team. So learn to control your emotions.
I'm sure that you're aware of what happened in New York with Geno Smith getting his jaw broken from a confrontation from IK, the linebacker that now is with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, that's something. I mean, that the same rules apply for a locker room as they do for the practice field for you, I would imagine.
Sure. You know, I think, you know, things can happen, and it's a competitive environment. And, you know, it's like, you know, you're going against another team in a training camp, and maybe the two head coaches can get together, bring in some captains, and say, hey, this is how we want to approach this. And then they spread it to the team, and you do everything you can to make sure it's an environment where these things don't take place. But, you know, some things just pop up, and then you got to address it and deal with it.
Well, there's that's never fun. And it's, I've always wondered sometimes you get football players fighting, and they're punching to the head, and guys got helmets on.
Right.
I mean, Use your common sense. If you're going to punch a guy, punch him in the throat.
Well, it's a game of emotions, but you got to learn to control your emotions. And, you know, and if you want to play and you want to play at a high level, you've got to learn to deal with that.
Did you see that your old player, Red Bryant, signed with the Buffalo Bills this week?
Yeah, you know what? I did, and I'm happy for him. You know, Red was great here. The players loved him, and what he came in and what he gave to this organization – You know, he did an outstanding job. And now he gets another opportunity, and it sounds like he's happy and excited about it. So I wish nothing but the best for him.
I always remember the first time that I really actually talked with Red. I'm talking talked, you know, because at first Red is kind of, you know, keep your distance, you know.
Was it Marcus Pollard's office with me, wasn't it?
No. Well, I mean, that was the first time that I actually talked with him briefly, but then had a chance to talk with him later on. He's got that Texas drawl that, I mean, he needs to get in, like, radio and television work with that voice. I mean, he's got just a great way of speaking.
He does. He just, you know, I know he's a very good football player, but just a great person and did an outstanding job leading here with our guys. And, you know, he's always somebody that I hold in high regard.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll talk about a couple of the injured guys, Julius Thomas, Jonathan Cyprian, and we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
This segment is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Back here on the Gus Bradley Show, Jeff Loggeman and head coach Gus Bradley. And Gus, the injuries that happened in the Pittsburgh game, Jonathan Cyprian, which talked with him after the game on .com postgame report, looked fine. Didn't have anything on his fingers, obviously something that once the adrenaline wears off, you kind of discover. Julius Thomas, everybody was aware of because he came off the field and he was getting attended to by doctors. But, boy, how fortunate are you guys to have broken bones but none needing surgery and they can still participate conditioning-wise and in practice with a red jersey on.
Yeah, if there's ever silver lining, you know, that's it. That you saw them out there. They're running around. They're going through individual drills. Just can't complete with, you know, catching the ball right now. But, you know, and it gives guys other opportunities. You know, we talked about the safety position. We need to find out some things there with Craig Lawson and Josh Evans. And this week they'll get plenty of opportunities now, and they'll take advantage of those opportunities. And sometimes through these injuries like this, we can create more depth. And, you know, because we're going to need everybody the whole season, so it'll only make us stronger as a team.
When you talk about opportunities, Jonathan Cyprian obviously is not going to play against the New York Giants on Saturday night. And you talk about Josh Evans and Craig Lawson getting an opportunity. Are those going to be your two starting safeties Saturday night?
No, Sergio Brown, but okay. Those guys will split at the strong safety position.
Is this, I mean, like you talked about in saying, you know, silver lining or something, is this also could be a silver lining? Look, you know, that other safety position is still somewhat unsettled. Is this a great opportunity to evaluate that position past Jonathan Cyprian?
At the strong safety position?
At free and strong.
Oh, free and strong. Yeah. Right now, you know, Craig is, you know, our strong safety. He plays behind Cyprian. Josh, we're trying to train to play both free and strong until James Sample gets back. And then we'll see what he can do. Mm-hmm. And he's more of a free safety for us this year. So, you know, between those guys, we need to find, you know, four guys that are capable. Now, whoever the two backups are, they got to be really, really strong special teams players. So it just so happens Craig and Josh, they're going to be playing. You know, one will be starting, the other one will be playing a lot. And then special teams, we're going to be having a close eye on that too, because that's really how they're going to, you know, benefit this team even more.
When you talking about James Sample, the rookie fourth-round pick from Louisville, have doctors given you any indication timeline about when he may be ready, or is this something that, you know, I know when you have broken bones, they can do these scans that can determine the, you know, the how the bone is healed and if it's ready for football yet? Is
right.
That something
well,
that you're waiting on?
He was involved a little bit more in practice this week, so we'll see how he responded after this week of practice. And, you know, most of the players, all the players are going out with us on this trip. So we'll get a chance to work him out and see how he does. And then next week, you know, Monday, we'll reevaluate, and hopefully we can get him involved in some contact, and then we'll evaluate where he's at. But it'd be sure nice to get him to play in a game or two in the preseason.
The biggest adjustment for a young player, for the most part, is the mental part. How is Sample doing with that? Even though he hasn't been able to practice, have you been able to gauge where he's at on picking things up?
Sure. Well, in meetings, he can articulate it. He knows it. I've never seen a more focused younger player standing on the sideline during walkthrough. He knows every call, knows, you know, his responsibility. Now he's in the back of the play, and he's mirroring the safeties as they go through their reps. So, you know, but there's nothing like playing. But I anticipate that he'll step in and play pretty fast. And if he makes a mistake, I believe it'll be a type of person that will make it, and you may not see it again for a while.
Last year at the beginning of the season, the secondary was kind of in flux for about the first 5 weeks of the season. And I know that in training camp so far, you're trying to find the right combination, whether it be at safety but also at cornerback. Last week, when the depth chart came out, and I know the depth chart is just a depth chart. It's not anything that has to be considered completely accurate, but you had Demetrius McCray and Aaron Colvin listed as co-starters and Devon House on the other side. Are you going to try something different this week to gain further evaluation? Because I noticed that on the depth chart that Aaron Colvin and then Devon House were listed as the starters, and DMAC, Demetrius McCray, was listed as a backup. How are you going to
rotate that?
Well,
when we go, you know, we'll see quite a bit of three wides this week with New York. So you'll see Demetrius, Colvin, and House out there all at the same time. Now, the interesting thing to watch will be you'll also see Gratz out there with Colvin and House. And you may even see Colvin, House, and Rashad Reynolds at nickel. And so all these guys are doing some really good things. I think it's just finding all the guys together and see who performs the best as a group. And, but we're pleased with their progress. They all, they have length, they have, competitiveness, but it still comes down to the ability to make plays.
And last year when I talked about that, weeks of being in flux, you were able to finally settle down. But the one thing that I'm sure you wanted to see more of was the interceptions. In last week we talked about ball skills, and I remember I said, who's got the best ball skills of the bunch? And the first name that popped in your head, although you pointed out a couple other guys, but the first name that popped in your head was Nick Marshall.
Sure.
How important is the ball skills to being in the lineup for a defense that wants to improve upon having only six interceptions?
Well, that's the finish part of it. I mean, it's something about being able to line up and use the proper technique and staying within our base principles. But then there's the finish part. And the finish is the transition and the ability with your ball skills to turn those PBUs into interceptions. And I think that's where we're at now. We're seeing guys do the technique, but it comes down to making plays. And, they're all capable of doing it. But when the lights come on, let's see. And so hopefully we can get them, all those guys, a lot of reps. Guy like Jeremy Harris had a really, really good week this week in one-on-ones. And we saw some interceptions take place. But, we don't want too many, right, Logs? It means the quarterbacks are, maybe
not exactly.
Well,
depends on which quarterback it is.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, it's never a good thing for the offense, but I really like how these guys are progressing.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back. Got a question for you about the Houston Texans and the television show Hard Knocks, and we'll do that here on the Gus Bradley Show right here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Gus Bradley, Jeff Loggeman here for the Gus Bradley Show. And Gus, the Hard Knocks series, which I guess NFL Films or NFL Network does, and it's now on HBO, I think, is doing and featuring the Houston Texans. And for many years, a lot of the NFL players love watching Hard Knocks because, you get to watch inside of another football team, and it's kind of interesting to them. I know that I've watched it a couple different years, and it's been very interesting. But with the focus being on a division opponent and past players saying that they've learned tips from watching Hard Knocks on that opponent, do you or your staff, watch Hard Knocks to maybe glean some piece of information that may be beneficial to you?
Well, you know, you see more of an approach or how they go about it, you know. But to be honest with you, I've not watched any of it.
So you're not DVRing it?
No, I have not. But I'm sure, you know, some of the guys do, and you know, we'll watch it for us, and if there's any pertinent information. But, you know, I don't know. I don't, you know, the game is so much you get every angle logs, right? I mean, you get end zone, sideline, tight. You know, you get all these reports, computer printouts, all those reports on tendencies, how these guys think, how they react to things, and you get all that information. And you know, you're so busy studying that to watch a show, you know. But I think it is great. You know, it sounds like it's great entertainment. I know people enjoy it, and it does give them a firsthand look.
I would watch it, much like what J.J. Watt talked about last year, and that he said he was able to pick up cadence snap counts. Because you can hear the language,
right? But you know, but you can anyway. I mean, we do it.
Yeah, you get television copies.
Yeah, we just get television copies.
Right.
So I mean, that's part of our preparation. So you know, we play it for our players, and they get a feel for the cadence, and you know, so they know those things. We get it from the TV copy.
Interesting. The whole concept of Hard Knocks, would that be something that you would be interested in doing at some point in the future?
Well, I think, you know, in the NFL, they bring these notions to you, and you're open to it. But, you know, for us, it was more the timing of it. And, you know, for me, I think that we have a style, a way we do things. And, you know, a genuineness, I think, is important, that a team understands it. And when you're just starting out, you know, sometimes it's, is this how you are, or is it because we're on Hard Knocks? You know, it's, and I didn't want to have any part of that, I think, initially. But as the team begins to know you and trust you and know your personality, and then I think it becomes less of a distraction.
So at some point in the future, you would consider it?
Well, you know, they bring it to you. You know, it's really...
may not give you a choice.
Right. You know, if Dave Caldwell comes to me and says we're doing it, or, you know, or Shad, or, you know, then we're doing it.
And have you ever been with a team that's done anything like that?
Yes. Not Hard Knocks, but one team I was with, they videotaped us the whole year. It wasn't just in a training camp.
And who was this one?
I'm not going to say. But they videotaped us, and I had a TV camera in my office following me downstairs everywhere we went in our meetings for the whole year. And they haven't come out with it yet, and I don't know if they will, but it was but, you know, you just learn to ignore it after a while, after a week or so, 2 weeks. You know, I'd be sitting there watching film in my office, and they'd be sitting in the corner videotaping you, you know, and you weren't saying anything.
Why don't you want to say what it was, which team it was?
Because,
is it, because it's not out.
It's not out, and, you know, I don't want to get to that. But, yeah, it was just, you know, it's just odd. You know, you're sitting, just think you're sitting in a room, and you're working for 14 hours, and there's a TV camera, a guy standing there videotaping you, you know, mm-hmm. everything you're doing.
Odd.
You know, it really is odd. But, you know, some of it, you know, you get a chance to say what you want in there and what you don't. But, yeah, it was just a unique experience.
But I know that the NFL Network has come in here and has wired you up during training camp, as they try to do with every training camp in the National Football League. And you can see players going, hey, Donnie Brasco, or whatever it is that they're saying, which means I'm hot, I got a wire on me.
Yeah.
I mean, does that change the way you act?
I don't know. You know, it doesn't change how I am, but you know, because you know, I guess if something comes out, they'll take care of you, and you trust that they will. But you know, it's you know, it's part of it. That's the world we live mm-hmm. in, you know, and I understand it. So I think the big thing is that, you know, if you come across, you just stay true to who you are. It's not a big deal.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll talk a little Odell Beckham Jr. right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. The head coach and me, Jeff Loggeman. Gus, Odell Beckham Jr., an exciting young wide receiver. Some of his numbers are just eye-popping. He only played in 12 games. He had 1,305 yards, 91 catches, 12 touchdowns, and you're going to get a good look at him on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's a great challenge, right? I mean, quarterbacks, the receivers that we're facing in preseason, all the way throughout, even next week, you know, another good group. So really, as you put together this preseason, a great challenge for us defensively.
And you may end up seeing a little bit of Victor Cruz last year, tore his patellar tendon. He's coming back. I know he took a lot of snaps last week and some practices with another football team, so he could end up playing on Saturday night. You know, that's what you want in the preseason, isn't it? I mean, let me see your best so we can evaluate what
we got.
That's
right. And you know what? And it's still not game planning. It's not like we're going to roll coverage to Odell Beckham and play quarter, half, and, you know, reroute him to the inside so the corner can jump him and then another safety. We're not getting in that. You're going to see just what we do and see how we hold up. And that's how it should be at this time. So, again, not a complicated game plan. Just go in there, play our techniques, and let's see, did we improve from last week and where are we at?
Could there be one of those young cornerbacks that goes, I wish we had somebody rolled over here to help me with Odell?
No.
No fear?
No, not at all. These guys have played against guys like that. And, you know, and they know, they respect them now, but they surely don't have the mindset of that. They love the challenge. And they may say, put me over on his side or put me on this side. And, you know, hopefully they don't even do that. Hopefully they just line up and just play. It doesn't matter who they're going against. I mean, they understand his strengths and weaknesses, but our guys really haven't watched a lot of tape on these guys at this point, but they'll remember some of the things from last year.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, a little conversation about Eli Manning of the New York Giants, and we'll do that on the Gus Bradley Show right here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
We're having quarterback discussions here on the Gus Bradley Show in a commercial break, and let's go ahead and continue that here on the air. Not the conversation necessarily that we were having. But Eli Manning, two-time Super Bowl MVP. But the surprising thing with Eli is his completion percentage. His career completion percentage is at 59%. But a guy who last year with the new offensive coordinator and Ben McAdoo ended up getting up to a career high 63.1%. So pretty efficient year for Eli.
Yeah, you know, in his career, you know, I think I'm trying to think of Eli in his beginning years. You know, I know there was a learning curve for him, and he struggled and threw some interceptions. And so I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, like, the last, you know, 7 years of his career, his completion percentage, because I know he's been pretty productive. And a quarterback that's taken the two Super Bowls, two MVPs, right, Lux?
Yeah.
Two MVPs
pretty
of
good.
A Super Bowl. Yeah, pretty good. You know, many would consider
quarterback. A lot of people would argue that the defense of the Giants should have gotten that MVP.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it doesn't matter when you have a quarterback that can lead you. You know, so very talented, very talented. And now he's got weapons to go with him.
I think the thing that's impressed me the most about Eli and how, you know, I'm not necessarily the biggest Eli Manning fan, but in this category I am. It's extremely hard to thrive in New York because, you know, there's always some type of controversy or whatever. And it seems like that Eli has always risen above that and really hasn't gotten involved in a lot of that.
Right. I think when you play in that environment, the criticism you receive and the thick skin
can eat you up.
It can. And his poise and he's had some good games and some bad games, just like every quarterback. But, you know, I've got great respect for him now for what he's done. Not many quarterbacks can say that they led their team to two Super Bowls, you know. So obviously he's somebody that you know, is well-deserving of all the accolades.
On the other side of the ball, the Giants are missing what may be the most talented athlete that they have, which is Jason Pierre-Paul. Had the 4th of July incident, has not reported to the New York Giants yet. Boy, what a tough deal for a team and a player.
It is, you know, and it's always unfortunate whenever you lose a player like that. You know, for whatever time frame he's out for, but it's always a challenge. But somebody will step up, and somebody will get their opportunity and make the best of it. But, again, not to downplay the seriousness of the injury and the impact it can have on your team.
The guy that has been playing in place of JPP is Robert Ayers, a former first-round pick of the Denver Broncos back in 2009. Should be a good test for Luke Joeckel this week.
Yeah, it should be. And, you know, our whole offensive line, you know, I know with their mentality of attacking up front and get those guys going, you know, it's going to be really a challenge for our whole offensive line. So, you know, protection is going to be big again.
And the one guy I have gone the entire show, but I got to go ahead and drop his name here at the end of the show because I'm a big fan of his, Tyler Shatley. a guy that just seems to get better and better, and he's young still, but he's getting better.
Yeah, he is, you know, and hopefully we can get him some reps. You know, we've got those two guys battling out and getting enough reps for them, and Chat will get a chance to play as well.
All right, Gus, best of luck on Saturday night.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you same time, same place next week right here on The Gus Bradley Show.